Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, where we read, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And tonight we want to choose this as our text: "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." We have here one of the Ten Commandments. It is the third commandment. The first commandment tells us who we are to worship. You are to worship the one true and the living God. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And God is telling Israel, the people he redeemed from Egypt, that they are only to worship him and him alone. The second commandment tells them in what way they are to worship him. And we touched upon that in our meditation last Lord's Day evening. But the third commandment teaches us that we are to worship God with reverence. And this is what this commandment is all about. It is about reverence. I think it is true to say that as we seek to introduce this subject tonight to you, I think it's a fair comment to say that we might be regarded as a congregation and as a denomination that does seek to worship God in a sense of reverence. We are not perfect, far from it, but we do seek to have a time of quietness and reverence as we come to the house of God. Well, we do realize to some extent that we are undertaking a wonderful activity here. We are coming before God, and all that God is would demand that we worship him with a sense of reverence. Now, whether that is true or not, that is debatable. But if it is true to some extent that we are noted for a sense of reverence, that is no excuse for us. We cannot become complacent. We cannot, in any sense, be proud of ourselves. And we cannot get big-headed and look down upon others. We're not here for that kind of activity whatsoever. Because, friends, the more that we would look at this commandment, the more that we would realize that we have broken this commandment. And that's why I want to meditate upon it tonight profitably with you. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Let me read something here to you. It's from the 9th edition of the Oxford Concise English Dictionary, 1995. In it, it has this twofold description against the word Jesus. So there's an entry in the dictionary. The entry is Jesus, and it gives a twofold explanation of the name. The first explanation is, quote, "an exclamation of surprise, dismay, etc." That's how the dictionary describes the name Jesus. An exclamation of surprise, dismay, etc. Then, the second definition of the word Jesus is, quote, "name of the founder of the Christian religion." There you have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ being used as a swear word in the first description. And only in the second is his name assigned as it properly should be to some extent. And this does show us the problem that we are facing, because this commandment is widely broken today. And it may well be that it could be widely broken in our midst even this evening. And that's why we want to look at it, because this is a very important subject. The Jews were ones who, in some sense, did reverence God, particularly the scribes, for instance, when they were copying the manuscripts of Scripture. They were very particular that they copied the manuscripts exactly. And when they came to the name of God, when they found the name of God in the manuscript they were copying, they would pray first, and they would make sure absolutely that they copied it exactly. They would be very particular over these things. But Paul, in Romans chapter 2, when he is outlining the sins of the Jews, he lays this charge against them. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. And what he was saying to the Jews was that the Gentiles are blaspheming God because of the conduct of the Jews. And maybe that is something that could be leveled at the Christian church today. This indeed is a very important subject, because the Lord our God, when he was about to bring the people into the promised land, as the book of Deuteronomy will tell us, Moses the servant gave them exhortations and warnings. He gave them warnings that if they did not remain in covenant with the Lord their God, they would face famines, they would face various difficulties sent to them by the Lord their God. And towards the end of that long chapter, when he outlines blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then plagues, famines, and curses were to come upon them." And they were to realize that as they would go into this promised land, they were to fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And that's really a comment upon this text that we're looking at. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So tonight we want to look at this commandment. And indeed, friends, it is true that the more you look at the commandments of God, the more you will see your own sin. And of course, if we look at the commandments of God, if we study them truly as the Scriptures would have us to study them, and if we come to the conclusion that we're self-righteous, and if we come to the conclusion that we have obeyed the law of God and that we have kept the law of God, then the only thing that we can say to ourselves is we have not properly understood the law of God. Because the law of God will reveal to us our sin. And the law of God will reveal to us how much we have fallen short of the glory of God. And the more that we profitably look upon the law of God, it will reveal to us this thing above all, our great need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reverence, then, it is vitally important. We could think, for instance, when the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, when he begins to talk about prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer begin? You know it well. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. And this should be something that should be uppermost in our minds. That when we come to worship God, when we come to serve God, when we live out our lives in the community that we live in, that we are to hallow the name of the Lord our God in all that we engage in. And we are to be careful that we do not break this commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, we want to ask ourselves firstly, what does this mean? What does this commandment mean? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We might think, for instance, this is talking simply about using words. I'm not going to articulate the words because you know them well. You hear them every day. You hear them no matter where you go. You hear the Lord's name being taken in vain. You hear it on the radio. You hear it on the television. You hear it everywhere. It's all around us. And you might think that that's all that this commandment is talking about. Verbally taking a name of the Lord our God in vain. Well, friends, it does mean, of course, that. But it means much, much more than that. Because when it talks about the name of God, it does not simply mean the actual word God or other divine name as Lord or Jehovah, but it tells us about how the Lord reveals himself. Any way that God reveals himself is the name of God. The name of God includes all forms of God's self-revelation. Whether his general revelation in nature or his special revelation in Scripture. We will seek to enlarge upon that. But it does not simply mean the name Lord or God or Jehovah. It is how God reveals himself, how he makes himself known. You see, God reveals himself in his titles. He has various titles in the Scriptures. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There he is revealing that he is Lord over all, the great God. He is the Holy One of Israel. Here he is reminding Israel that the Lord their God is a holy God. He is a sin-hating God. Lord of Hosts. Host is just a reference to the armies. And the Lord indeed is the Lord of the armies of heaven. He's a great commander in chief, the Bible would teach us. And in these titles, God is revealing something of his greatness and of his glory and of his majesty and power and dominion. But God also reveals himself in his attributes. We know what God is like by studying his attributes and his perfections. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He is holy. He is unchangeable. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of love. He is a God who is eternal. He is unchangeable. He possesses perfect wisdom, and we could go on with various other attributes. And all of these attributes describe and reveal to us the greatness of this God. And if we want to know what God is like, we must indeed go to the Word of God, study his attributes, and then we will get, in some sense, a complete picture of how God has self-described himself. And all of these ways are ways in which the name of the Lord our God is revealed. God reveals himself in the Word. In his, for instance, in his ordinances. Word and prayer and sacrament. And also in lawful oaths and lawful vows. These are ways in which God reveals his character to us. These are ways that he has appointed that he might reveal himself. Otherwise, we would be ignorant of him. And of course, God will reveal himself in his works, in the work of creation, in the work of providence. In all of these ways, God is revealing Himself, the kind of God that He is. And therefore, when it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," name there is referring to all of these things. And the more that we realize and grasp it, the more that we are drawn to the conclusion that it's so easy for us to break this commandment. Maybe some illustration, secondly, would help us. It's all very well talking about these things, but if we go into some practical details about the sins that we can so easily commit, it will reveal to us what the name of the Lord thy God really means. To help us understand, obviously, when it says in vain, what it means there is falsely. To use the name of the Lord thy God falsely is to break this commandment. Let me give you one or two examples that might help us. When we pray to Him and do not believe in Him, we are taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When we stand up, or when we go on our knees, and when we seek the Lord in prayer, but if we do not believe in Him, we are really treating Him like an idol. An idol cannot hear. An idol cannot respond. And if we are going before the Lord our God and uttering, mouthing vain words, we don't really believe that He hears. We don't really believe that He answers. Then we are taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In my early Christian days, I heard of a young Christian who went to a prayer meeting. And it was a free church prayer meeting. And this is not a criticism of our custom in any way. But he was a young believer. And he went to this prayer meeting. And he was asked to pray. And he got up. And he simply said, "Lord, teach me to pray," and sat down. I don't know how you would have reacted if you had been there. But if he prayed the truth, then he really did pray. And if he had stood up, and if he had sought to pray for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, struggling, maybe saying things that he didn't really believe, he would have been taking the Lord's name in vain. It's very important that when we call upon the name of the Lord in prayer, that we are truthful, that we are sincere, that we seek the things that we ask, that we just don't ask for things that are normal, that we hear other people asking for. Surely prayer should be from the heart. Prayer should be for things that are laid upon our hearts. God is a God of truth. And it doesn't matter if we issue right petitions, but if they're not from the heart, and if we don't believe that God hears, and if we don't believe that God will answer, we are taking the Lord's name in vain. We are despising the ordinance that He has given to us of prayer. We are not delighting in this wonderful access that He has provided for us, whereby we might enter into the very throne room of heaven, and where we might lay our prayers and concerns from the heart through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews tells us, that great chapter of faith, chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." It doesn't matter how great our prayers are, if we don't believe that He exists, if we don't believe that He can answer, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How often have we prayed with words that have cost us nothing? Each one has to look upon these things themselves. Very often, friends, we break this commandment when we use the attributes of God in a way that we should not do. Again, an illustration might help us. We meet someone. They tell us something startling. They tell us something like, "Did you hear that so-and-so had a heart attack?" What do we say? Goodness. Mercy. Gracious. We might say, what's wrong with saying that? Well, what is the connection between the startling news and the word goodness, or the word mercy, or the word gracious? What is the connection? There is no connection. But when we use the word goodness or mercy or gracious, we are using the attributes of Almighty God, the way that he has revealed himself unto us. And we are blaspheming the name of the Lord our God. This is something that we hear constantly. We use words that have no bearing and no relation to the news or the startling statement that we have heard. We blaspheme the name of the Lord when we misuse his ordinances. Some of the examples I'm going to give you here are maybe not that familiar, but one of them will be, I'm quite sure. Again, we might hear a startling statement. I don't need to repeat, but you know the kind of startling statement that I'm referring to. And when we've heard it, some people will say, "Holy smoke." And you might say, what's that got to do with the startling statement? Of course, it's got nothing to do with the startling statement. And what has holy smoke got to do with it? And how is that blaspheming the name of the Lord our God? Well, holy smoke, friends, is a reference to the incense that's burnt in the temple. Again, someone might give us a startling statement and they might say, "Jerusalem." There's no connection, of course, but Jerusalem is the place where the Lord our God has revealed himself to the people of Israel. It's the city of Zion. But there's one example that probably we have heard quite a bit. Again, a startling statement or news is brought to us that takes our breath away, and very often we will say something like, "Good grief." Again, there's no relationship between the startling statement and the words we have used. But good grief is a reference to the sufferings of Christ on Gethsemane and on Calvary. We must make sure that our words are appropriate. The Lord Jesus Christ reminds us we will give account for every idle word. Every idle word. To misuse the words, the biblical words of hell or damn is sinful. These words used in their proper place are right and lawful and legitimate, but used out of context, they are, in some sense, taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I don't know if you've heard about the term minced oaths, but people often say minced oaths. They don't really say an oath, but they mince their words to some extent. And someone described a minced oath as a profane oath uttered by a person who does not quite go the whole way in imitating the profane speech of the sinful world. One or two examples might help us. Again, we can read these things, but an example might show more light and shed more light on the subject. Again, we're talking about somebody bringing us bad news or startling news, and we might say something like, gosh, it's a non-word. It's not a real word. But what does it mean, or what is it supplementing? It's supplementing God himself. That's why it's called a minced oath. Another word used is darn, instead of that terrible word, damn. Heck, instead of hell. Gee, instead of Jesus. Chrysis, instead of Christ. These are all minced oaths. And in such sense, they are taking the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. There are other ways in which we can take the name of the Lord, thy God, in vain. We can misuse the ministry of the Word of God. I'm thinking particularly of the minister. You will be familiar, no doubt, of a program that was used to be on the television around the last day of the year, and where there was in the program a very dour Presbyterian minister, and he was there giving his thoughts maybe on the year past and on the year to come in a comedy situation. What was that? That was nothing more than taking the mickey out of the minister. And what is the minister? He is but a follower of the apostles. He is, in some sense, an ambassador of Christ. So what was the TV program doing? It was simply ridiculing the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had ordained. It was making fun of the gospel minister. And of course, when you make fun of the gospel minister, you are making fun of what Jesus Christ has ordained. When you look at programs on television concerning ministers, what do you invariably find as they're portrayed in various programs? What do you notice about the minister? He is usually some comical comedian, or he is some utter nutcase. And he is far, far from what a minister should be as far as the gospel is concerned. What do we find there then? It is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It is despising the ordinances that God has set up in order to proclaim the gospel, in order to gather people into the kingdom of God, because we know it's through the foolishness of preaching that people are saved and the saints are built up in their most holy faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but many people indeed think it nothing to ridicule the minister and the office of the minister. I know of one couple who signed a call to a minister. And this is not personal experience, by the way, but I do know one couple who have signed a call to a minister, and they never ever attended upon his ministry. I would say to you, that is indeed taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Calling someone and then never sitting under his ministry. Thinking nothing of the gospel and the one who has come to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, and never thinking to come and to sit under the ministry, is indeed taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Coming to the house of God and not being attentive is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We need to be very careful. As we have said, the more that we look into these commandments, the more that they reveal to us how far short we fall of the glory of God, and how much we have broken these commandments, and how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ. What are then we to do? We are to make sure that we are to worship God in reverence and in godly fear. And how are we to do that? Well, above all, friends, we are to recognize God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to delight in the wonderful provision that He has made for us, for our salvation in Christ. And we are to look upon Him, and we are to delight in Him, in His coming in our midst. And we are to embrace Him as He has freely offered us in the gospel. And friends, it's taking the name of the Lord our God in vain when we come to the house of God and we're under the means of grace and our hearts are truly convicted. We recognize that we need the Savior, and we recognize that He is willing and able to save us, yet we will not embrace Him. What a dreadful thing it is to be under the means of grace, and to have hearts that are hardened and hearts that are indifferent. It is high time, friends, that we embraced Christ, that we recognized Him, that we submitted unto Him, that we quit our rebellion, and that we would call upon Him, that we might openly profess Him to be our Lord and Savior, that we would follow the one true religion, and that we would be found in Christ. We know the world thinks nothing of these kind of things. This commandment means nothing to them. But we have a warning in this commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And surely this part of the commandment would remind us that although the world and maybe the church think nothing of this, this is vitally important to the Lord. He will not let this go unpunished. He will not pass over this. This is not a light matter. The church or the world may not think anything of it, but the Lord our God does. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Blasphemy is not an important thing in the world, and even in the church. But to God it is. He is zealous for his name. And we are to be ones who are to worship him with reverence. Why? Because as the book of Hebrews tells us, our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, friends, let us heed this commandment. We are to worship one God. We are to worship Him in a set and prescribed way, but we are to reverence Him with our hearts. And nothing else will do. Otherwise, we are breaking this commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Amen. And may God be pleased to bless to us his word.